Heartbreak for the Auburn Tigers as they lose a gut-wrenching game to the Baylor Bears in South Dakota for the season opener for basketball. Joined by Brandy Mack tonight, and we're going to talk about it. I want to thank everybody out there for listening and checking out the Auburn Daily Show and or podcast, depending upon wherever you're watching or listening. If it's on YouTube, make sure if you don't already, please subscribe to the channel. And if it is wherever you get your podcast, make sure to like, follow, subscribe, whatever the little button or indicator says. Helps the show out a ton. If you are there, feel so inclined, please leave us a 5-star review. Also helps the channel and the show grow. Before we get to talk about the game, it is the most topical time in the world. No better time for the show sponsor, the Opelika Rage Room. If I were there right now, I would be geared up, smashing stuff to bits, because that's how frustrated myself, I know you do, Brandy, and a lot of others feel after watching that game. It's probably the worst way to lose, to let one get away from you like that, especially when the stakes are what they are and what that could have meant from a momentum standpoint. But yes, they great time. Should go see them this week. Like I said, Opelika Rage Room located just outside of downtown Opelika on 2nd Avenue. Go to the website, opelikaragerum.com. If this loss gets you in the feels like it's got me, you can go in there with a room, play some angry music, and just beat stuff to an absolute pulp and kind of get past this. If you're the Birmingham area, don't worry. They got a location up there as well, Birmingham Rage Room. Go check them out. And if you really don't feel like you're mad enough to check them out, just look at the score recap of this game, and that should kind of get you in the mood for a rage room, because I know that's where I want to be right now. But, Brandy, let's talk about this game, okay? So I'm going to start us with something. I was combing through the stats, and I was looking for some things that jumped out to me. And there's a lot that we can talk about here, but I want to hit you this. We're actually going to start at the end. And if you look at some of these stats of how even this game was, obviously it was a 6-point game, and you know, there's some garbage time points and foul points that really get a little closer if you take that aspect out of it. But 3-point percentage, Auburn and Baylor were tied. The offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds tied at 14 and 24. The turnovers, both teams had 15. The points off turnovers, 18 respectively. Both teams had a technical foul. A lot of – and rebounds, both teams had 38 rebounds. And obviously both teams were 9 for 19 from 3. And then your field goal percentage was 44.4 to 43.3. So what you're hearing there is a lot of even stats, but I've left one out. Do you know which one I left out?
Either steals or blocks, or both, maybe.
Okay. So blocks, Auburn extensively took care of business. They were blocks for 10. Steals. Okay, so interesting there. Auburn had 10 blocks to Baylor's 4, but Baylor had 10 steals to Auburn's 5. Kind of crazy. So those offset. There's one more that I'm leaving off.
Oh, you're talking about fouls. Sorry.
Talking about fouls. That is right.
Yeah.
So
we were hacking away out there. We were. We start, and you know, we kind of started the game hacking away, which I really liked how Chad Baker Mazzara started off at the beginning with his aggressiveness on defense. But yeah, definitely some lopsided fouls there. I don't know if can you blame it on officiating? I don't really know if you can when we're up by 9, but definitely interesting.
Yeah, so let's go here. And where's the – do you have the foul numbers in front? I'm trying to comb through the stats here. Do you have the foul numbers to see exactly how many Baylor had to how many Auburn had?
Yeah, we had 32 personal fouls and Baylor had 22.
32 fouls. That is – it's a lot of fouls. Okay. So let's go look at that here. And let's go look at the stat that really that correlates to. So this game is pretty much neck and neck at the end of it. But what ends up happening there, because what happens when you foul? Well, you get to shoot free throws. So the problem there is Auburn was 17 of 25. Baylor was 27 of 34. So what's that right there? That's a 10-point difference. Because, I mean, you know, percentage-wise, they were fairly close. 10 points Auburn gave away, and that being a 6-point game plus some lead going. There goes your ball game right there. Lost at the free throw line. That is going to be the stat that really gives it away. And another one, too, would be just very untimely turnovers that Auburn gave up as well.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. 15 of our turnovers that we had, assuming 10 of those, because Baylor had 10 steals, 10 of those were steals. And Baylor actually had the same amount of turnovers, but we only had 5 steals. So I thought that was pretty interesting, just looking at those kind of together there. Baylor's like most tenured guard, who I thought was going to have a much better game than what he did. He had a good game, but he wasn't really who shined for them. And that was Ray J. Dennis. He had 7 turnovers. He made up over almost half, or I guess right around half of their turnovers that they had, which is kind of crazy. We definitely dominated him in this game and we took care of business there. But obviously their top 10 freshman that they had, Jacoby Walter, he went crazy. This game really was like the story of the two freshmen on both sides of the ball. And that I was pretty shocked to see like Ray J kind of turn the ball over as much as he did tonight. But when their, you know, senior veteran guard turns the ball over 7 times, you have to take advantage of that. So.
Well, one thing they were doing, and a positive note that I do want to give the team, was something that they've struggled with for a little while. Was their fast break points. Auburn had 14 to Baylor's 9. Auburn looked really, really good about scoring off transition, something that was a big key factor to that Final Four team, something they just did incredibly well, and something that Auburn teams just haven't been able to take advantage of in recent years. Great to see some flashes of that coming back, because that is such an important just game skill set, just a game-changing play that can do wonders for momentum.
And a lot of that was from Aiden too. Aiden played a phenomenal game and was the reason we were even in this game to begin with. It was those fast breaking points. He really knows how to lead this offense. I think he made a few freshman mistakes, but not anything that I felt like that cost us this game. He played really well tonight. And it's so weird. Even though we lost this game, we lost it by 6 points. I feel like it was a lot closer than that the entire game. We really did have full control of this game until around the last 3 to 4 minutes or so. But I honestly have never felt this good after a loss before in probably Auburn Athletics history in a long time. I feel like we played a more complete game against Baylor, even though we lost, than we have in at least the past year. So I feel really good about this team. And even though we didn't win, and this would have been great to have, because I am going to assume later on down the road, this would have been a quad one win had we won. This Baylor team is really good. There's a lot of bright spots that we saw tonight on both sides of the ball. And I think a lot of us going into this were pretty worried about how we were going to play on defense. And I was actually really pleased with us on defense. I think somebody who deserves a shout out for how he played on defense is Dylan Cardwell. I think he improved a lot from last year to this year. And yeah, I mean, he was out there and he was all over the floor. He was being aggressive where he needed to be. And I was just really impressed with him. He finished the night with 5 blocks, which is pretty good.
And that's only in 14 minutes of play.
That's pretty insane.
Oh, yeah.
So I was super impressed with that. I will say, don't want to rag on him, but in a game when you're going up against a top 25 opponent, I would love to not see Lior Berman out there on the floor if possible. I think he's a great basketball player, but in top 25 matchups like this, like, I would love for this team to not be in foul trouble. It's where we don't have to go out there and play, you know, some of those guys who are deeper on our reserves and on our bench.
Yeah, and there's definitely – and that was going to be kind of the downside of just some of the – just disciplinary things that'll kind of come with playing the game. This is going to be a problem for Broom and Cardwell, because they both like to play bully ball. And really, ironically, Jalen Williams could get very physical and only had the least amount of fouls tonight, ironically, for somebody who played the amount of minutes he did. So that was a good uncharacteristic thing of him, because there were some games last year he just he'd be all over some guys. So Dylan did make that stupid foul where he basically runs up to half court and just pops the guy where they just got fat. Like, there's like three fouls in one possession. Just cannot do that kind of stuff at the end of the game.
And honestly, the play that really killed us was the throw-in play. And it was a clear takeaway. And there was just let him get the basket broom and get the ball back. Don't let him get don't let him get a basket and get two more after that. So, I mean, and that stuff, like, you know, Broom at this point in his career should know not to do, but first game of the season, you're on a neutral court away from home. I get it. Emotions can be high at this point of the game, but for somebody who is, you know, preseason all SEC, like, you can't be out there making, you know, dumb mistakes like that because I mean, really, like, that was in crunch time and we could have gone down there and not necessarily just chucked up a three. We could have gone down there and had a little bit more time to control tempo and get to the basket and just score two. So I mean, overall, like I was really impressed with this team. We did have to play, I think, a lot deeper into our bench than what was expected, which was not the best, but it's the first game of the season against a great opponent. And I don't know. We didn't have any film to watch on Baylor. That was talked about a little bit throughout the game. And posted on social media, like we were sent nothing from them. So I get that. And that kind of makes sense when their freshman goes off, you don't have film on somebody who's never played college basketball before. He really, Walter's good. He's a really good player. He ate us up.
Well, that's another issue is Auburn had struggled. And we remember seeing some games last year had just struggled with some of these just athletic guards. And that got Auburn early in the season a lot last year. And then old boy Sasser came out to just cap that one when they played Houston and Birmingham in the year last year. So they've got to find somebody. And that's really a matchup where you miss Zepp Jasper because he could at times get up there and really just keep those guys I'm trying to avoid saying some bad words here, so trying to keep it clean. Zepp Jasper would be all over those guys. And I think that's where you kind of miss that defense. So you've got to find who is going to be that guy. And there were some times where they missed some assignments and gave him some wide open threes. I mean, this Baylor team, they could shoot. Now Auburn did well and they responded, but let's look at some high notes here. Let's just go through this. I was wrong. I'm going to admit it. I'm happy to be wrong. I'm glad I was wrong on this. I thought it was going to take a little while for Aiden to get his groove.
Yes, Aiden came out. Literally called me before you called me right before the game or last night. Yep. And goes, you know, I think people may be like overhyping Aiden, and I was like, I don't know, he's pretty good. We'll see. I really didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to expect. So
I didn't say overhype. Now,
or
I just thought that
you said, people. Sorry.
Yeah, let me defend myself or I get roasted in these comments here.
You didn't say overhype.
Yeah, we don't want these sound clips.
He was hesitant. He didn't say overhyped, though. Sorry.
Yeah, not overhyped. I just thought it might take a little bit of time for Aiden to get kind of in the groove of what people's expectations were going to be him right out of the gate. I was kind of like, hey, don't, you know, he's a true freshman. He's not a big physical presence out there. It might take a little bit of time in the season for him to really kind of come into form. I believe that it will probably happen at some point, but 19 points and him just being all over the place. And there's some little things they're definitely going to work on. Don't get me wrong, but he blew what my expectations would be for this matchup away from home out of the water. I am happy to be wrong. I thought Trey, they would have leaned on him a little bit more with the experience. Trey did not have as good as a night as I would have hoped. I mean, he led the team with turnovers. He had some really dumb turnovers. This is a guy who I was touting and would say, describing him, ice water in his veins, tenacious guy, very, very tough defender. Kind of that, you know, that football player mentality that he came and you kind of saw flashes of that last year and didn't really see it here. Now, granted, it's one game. That stuff can change. And then Jalen Williams, too, for a guy who played 27 minutes, Jalen has been playing at Auburn for 100 years now. This guy knows the system. He knows the culture. He knows the expectations, and he's shown he can do it. But only recording 4 points, that's something we got to we got to get more out of Jalen there. He did get a lot of rebounds. So, I mean, he was, you know, effective there. But still, I mean, there comes a time where a guy like him who's shown he can do it, got to do it. So those are my those would be my two, like, hey, guys, we got to step it up. My boy Simo, you know, I'm a Simo truther. Played 23 minutes. Chris Moore is not going to be your all over the place guy. He's going to be your well-balanced, very efficient. He was 2 for 4, didn't get a chance to shoot any free throws. I would not really say unless you saw something.
This is one of his best games ever. Like, it may not show up on the stat sheet, but Chris Moore played really, really well tonight.
And yes, he was.
Memes is a Chris Moore truther. I am a little more hesitant about his game. I think this was one of the best games that he's had in his time at Auburn. Like, not from like a statistical standpoint, but from a true impact being in there the game. Yeah, just like an eye test impact. Zepp did last year. Zepp was kind of that player last year for us, more of an eye test, not a, you know, big statistical leader, but eye test went in there and impacted the game in a way that can't really see when you just look at numbers. I thought Chris Moore played really well tonight. I'm really proud of him.
Yeah, and for people like, you know, kind of dogging Chris Moore, yeah, he's not going to be that big flashy guy, but it's like if Chris Moore was not good and effective, he wouldn't be playing 23 minutes. And probably the best highlight of the night for him was that, I don't know why that was even thought it was goaltending, but that block he had, insane block, super, got the hiccups just thinking about it, super clutch in a very important time of the game, and you see it. So I still think we're going to see a good bit out of Chris Moore for the rest of the year. Like I said, it's not going to, and he's got to be a guy that's going to light up the stat sheet, but I think you said it very, very well. A guy who's going to have an impact on the team, and you just got to watch it. You just got to be paying attention. And I mean, that just may be away from the ball, like locking. There's not a statistic for, hey, this guy didn't get the ball passed to him because Chris Moore was glued to him on defense. You just have to watch that and, oh, okay, that's the impact he's having on the game. So things like that, just not making the dumb mistakes. What did Chris Moore not have tonight? A turnover. A lot of guys on this team had a turnover tonight. So, and then, of course, you know, you kind of mentioned, too, the Leo Berman, his 5 minutes did not record any stat in that game. I don't have plus minus in front of me. I would love to try to dig that up when it gets out there. My internet's acting choppy, so I'm just glad we can even get the stream out. But I'm going to look up some plus minus because, you know, I love plus minus. I think that'll be a really telling test when we get to see it. But, yeah, and obviously a lot of that had to do with foul trouble. So, Leo did record a stat. He got a foul. But
yeah, and I understand kind of was put into the game because of the foul trouble that the rest of the team was in. So I get that. I just would like to, in these big matchups, would like to not have to go as far into our bench like that if possible.
Yeah. And it just, that was when Auburn, I mean, that was just kind of when everything was imploding there. And I think that's just one of those deals where you can tell how this team performs with a rotation that they like and they don't. But the issue, and they had a lot of this last year in some games, especially Alabama, they've got to be smarter about these foul situations. And we kind of said it. I mean, I'm not blaming the refs. The refs were very, very, very heavy on that whistle. They called it both ways. I would say they officiated the game relatively even. They were just kind of heavy, and you got to learn to play to that. And that's just the nature of the beast. You're going to have refs that swallow the whistle. You're going to have some that blow on that like they're getting paid per foul. And this was kind of one of those nights where they did that, and you got to adjust. And the thing is sometimes you got to give up, maybe let them drive there a little bit. And the crazy part is, I think the sad part that stinks about this is Baylor gave Auburn some easy plays. Like, they missed layups, missed dunks, just guys butterfingers of the balls out of bounds, or they could have just easy, easy buckets. So that's stuff they got to take advantage of. But some of those plays, like I said, not too far after, Auburn went and turned it over. I'm getting negative now. I'm kind of in a sad mood. Let's crank it back up here. I need to get out of the gutter here. The team looked this is, if everybody stays healthy, hear me out here, this is going to be the worst this team looks all season. They're going to get better.
I don't even think that they looked bad tonight. So I think the thing for me is like there's a lot to look forward to in this season and with this team that I don't feel like we had to look forward to at this point after game one, given we didn't play a top 25 opponent after in game one last year. But the stuff that we had issues with tonight is stuff that we can fix, like stuff easily. that will be fixed like later down the road with experience, with, you know, I mean, we talked about Trey's turnovers, but Aiden did have 3 turnovers tonight too, and did make a few careless mistakes. And we didn't really see Chaney's impact on the game until late into the second half. And I think we'll see his impact more as he gets adjusted to Division I basketball.
It makes you appreciate Wynn, because that was facilitating the point guard is a tough deal. And there are some things that Trey and or Aiden are and have and will do better than Wendell Green did. But Wendell, man, he was like a wizard with that ball. He controlled that ball very, very well, distributed. Now, I mentioned we did a space at halftime. Wendell did not get as many assists as I would like. I'm excited to see Aiden got 6. I'm glad to see that the team, there was a good bit of assists spread throughout the team. So they're doing what they need to do. And I think I love assists, because that just, it means everybody's better around you, and it puts defenses in a tough spot because they don't know exactly who to go after, especially when you're, hey, I'm a threat, or I can facilitate it to the next guy who's going to get a bucket. Where do you want to come on defense? Pick your poison. That's what I like. And I'm glad Aiden can. I mean, the best distributor that I've seen at Auburn was assist King Sharif Cooper. He could just get that ball to whoever, get the buckets, and he was great at that. But also, too, Sharif could call his own number and get a shot as well. I'm not saying Aiden Holloway is necessarily Sharif Cooper. Don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to tout out. I love it when guys get assists. Something we had not been seeing a lot last season at the point. Happy that we've got it now. Now, tell me some other things that you're excited to see about, because there's one stat column I haven't even gotten to yet that we need to talk about. I'm going to see if you can read my mind. We kind of messed this up last episode. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm assuming it's a 3-point percentage, because our 3-point percentage was so abysmal last year. I did want to call out just efficiency for individual efficiency for, that's one of my favorite stats to look at after a game. And Janai led in efficiency with Dylan actually right behind him, and then Aiden, and then Denver. So that's pretty exciting. I think that Dylan was literally right behind Janai with only, you know, 14 minutes. Is that how many minutes that Dylan ended up playing? But yes, we can talk about 3-point percentage. I just wanted to call out that Janai was most efficient player on the floor for us tonight. And also, what you were talking about with Sharif too. I'm really curious to see. I don't know just like what the final fours effective field goal percentage was, like what I would like Bryce and Jared's effective field goal percentage was, but I'm really curious to kind of compare Sharif's effective field goal percentage to Aiden's later down the road when he has more games under his belt, because I believe Sharif's probably one of our best effective field goal percentage players in the history of Auburn basketball. Although somebody stat check me on that. That's really me just assuming that. I know he had an extremely great number when he was here. So I'm excited to compare kind of Aiden and Sharif's EFGs later on down the road.
I think,
from the floor and 3-point percentage, like blew that out of the water tonight. So
yeah,
there are a lot of exciting things to look forward to with this team.
Yeah, but 9 for 19. That is a number from 3. That's a number we take. Because there were some
50%.
Games. Aiden 50. Broom. Why, 2 for 3 for Broom. Absolutely insane.
Bruce tried to tell us all offseason about that too. Bruce is like, guys aren't ready for Janai's 3-point shot. It's really improved. That's what the NBA guys told Bruce. Bruce saw it himself. He was telling us about Janai's 3-point shot all offseason.
Doing what he needed to do. Now, I got to shout out Katie Johnson. Good energy. Was just all over the place. Got 6 points, didn't get to the line, but he was just playing. You know, he kind of, there's some moments where he had that maniac KD back. And I was happy to see his energy out there. And another thing, and this is going to sound kind of counterintuitive, where I'm saying, oh, you know, he didn't remove his stat sheet. But you didn't see a whole lot of KD on the stat sheet. And that's not a bad thing, because hear me out. Especially earlier last year, you were seeing KD on the stat sheet in the wrong ways for the wrong reasons. There were those games where KD is just hawking up these threes, getting nothing on him. KD took one three and he missed it, and that's fine. But he didn't miss six. And you look back at some of these games last year, and you look at his three-point percentage, you're like, man, if we had those possessions back, and KD just didn't get the ball and immediately call his number, because there were just times where he wasn't taking smart shots. And the shots weren't there. Obviously, there's some level of discipline that KD was having. He's not taking these stupid shots. And like I said, I'm about to go back and rewatch the games. I'm not getting that far into it, but I'm just assuming if he didn't see him, he didn't take him. And he moved the ball around, and he got a 60% 3-for-5, 6 points, and missed one three. That's fine. But he didn't miss a bunch. So, and like I said, Auburn only took a total of, let's see, 5, 8, 10. Oh, I just said it, 19. I'm an idiot. I'm almost counting a number I just said a few minutes ago. It's kind of late, guys. It was a late game. We're recording. It's currently 11:30 Central Time as we're recording this, so bear with us. We're about to wrap it up. But yeah, there were some games last year where they took really high volume. So I'm glad to see that efficiency is better. And there's going to be things that this team cleans up. Obviously, when you're playing a high caliber opponent like Baylor, some of your bads are going to look worse. But the thing is, if your goods look good against Baylor, just imagine how they're going to look as they can develop and refine these things throughout the season. And I think the number one thing for this team is that they can stay healthy. I think Chad Baker-Mazar surprised some people. He only played 12 minutes, but Chaney was quiet. I'm not going to say he did anything really bad or good. He was just...
quiet. I agree.
A lot of hype around him. I know we both were
like, it's coming. Okay. It's coming. Okay.
It's one game.
It's coming. I believe in him.
Yeah, no, it's one game. But like I said, I mean, you take the foul stat out of this. This was a very, very even game, kind of like almost scarily even. But when you're neck and neck with the top 25 Baylor with some good talent on there, this certain game one of the season, that's a good sign. And Auburn has got a lot of good things to look forward to. Your double digit scores are Denver Jones with 13, Jani Broom with 16, and Aiden with 19. Broom gets a double double. He also got 11 rebounds in there. So I think he was the only player who did record a double double, I believe. So
I think there were six total players between the two teams that had four fouls each, which is kind of an insane stat to think about. Like, I mean, like, they called a lot of fouls on us, but they also called a lot of fouls on Baylor. Like, this is...
Yeah, that's like what I was saying earlier. I'm not sitting here blaming the refs on this. I mean, I'm just blaming the foul situation, and just, you got to know how to pivot for that. Auburn plays a physical game. That is Jani's deal. He's a guy that likes to get in there. And some of these were, let's be real, they're a little tit-tacky. They were little touch fouls. They called them on Baylor too. Right. Yeah, it just kind of is what it is, and they'll get some of those. At least it wasn't like A&M last year, where if a player on the bench sneezed, they'd call a foul. I mean, that was
horrible. This was not great tonight, but I at least kind of felt like it was a little more even on both sides in this game than that A&M game last year. One thing we do have to look forward to in the game this weekend is, obviously, we're at home, and we didn't talk about this last time we talked about basketball whenever they had their scrimmage, but I wanted to say on here, Neville Arena is selling alcohol now, in case any listeners didn't know that.
We totally forgot to mention that.
Yeah. I wanted to get that in, because that's this Friday. So if anybody listens to this before they go, I won't be there, but please grab a drink in my honor and Neville, because that is exciting.
Yes. Yeah. That's the fan experience. Shout out to John Cohen and his team for working on all that. A lot of folks in the athletic department are working to make that happen to improve the fan experience. We're seeing it in the arena. We're going to be seeing it in some other places as well. And
the VIP fan experience too. And
yeah, I mean, that's all.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah, that's so all. Many improvements.
Yeah, and that's all part of it. And they kind of took away that sort of Auburn Museum deal where you, for those that are kind of wondering where this whole deal is, or some of those pictures, if you first walked in kind of above the gift shop, there was that Auburn Museum where for a while that they had displayed the national championship, trophy and just had some other pieces of memorabilia of Auburn history. And that was cool for a while, and that had been there. I don't know if that was all there when they opened. They probably did a lot of that like post 2010. I'm not sure kind of all the, I know when I went in there from 2011 to like very recently, it really, for the most part, it kind of looked unchanged. So the runaround there is it was kind of time to do some revamps. And I think that area looks very clean. And not only that, it adds some good utility and it's something that I think some people are absolutely looking forward to. And Justin Ferguson, speaking of fan experience, Justin Ferguson tweeted this out and I don't know which affiliation, but he said apparently the refs kicked a fan out of the game.
Yeah, while they were reviewing the goaltending block call, apparently a fan was kicked out.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm all for it. I think every sporting event at least needs not just security, but the fact that the refs did it, that makes it even better. I think every basketball game should have at least one fan ejected by the refs. Oh, Brandy's frozen. Oh, okay. I thought you were frozen up for a second. I was like,
"Oh, it just delayed." It just delayed it again. Good. Okay, sorry.
No, you're good. Yeah. For those listening, internet is kind of crazy here. I don't know why I decided I'm recording down in Auburn, hence the
barn. Memes is broke. Here. Memes is broke.
Yes, times are hard. Well,
but I think I heard you right. I agree with what you said about the fan. So yes,
it doesn't matter if you heard me or not. Just say I agree. We should be in good shape.
I agree. Whatever you said, I agree.
Yes, thank you. But overall, I know we were kind of, there were some low points in this game. We just probably recorded a little too quickly after it ended, as far as just like the emotions of the episode. But overall, buy stock in this team. There is a lot of positive things to look forward to, as far as a top ranked, but we'll say kind of quad one matchup loss. Auburn had a lot of good things to see, a lot of struggles they had with previous seasons. It looks like there's some improvements, and some of the things that are kind of bleeding over, I think, are going to be very, very easily fixable. And a few of these things get tightened up and improved, this team is going to be very, very exciting. It's going to have one of the highest ceilings. I'm going to say it right now, this is going to be one of the highest ceilings an Auburn team has had since the Final Four team. And I don't even think let me rephrase this. And by no means did anybody think that this time that year, that team had that kind of ceiling. So I'm not going to say the sky's the limit because I don't want to boog that hard. But just be looking up. And even in a loss, I think this team rose its ceiling today. And that may sound kind of crazy. There's going to be some good stuff. If they stay healthy, big things to come. Brady, do you have any closing thoughts on this game or this team before we wrap this episode up so this horrible internet can quit plaguing me for the night?
Just buy into this team, be there, support them. This is going to be a really fun season.
Absolutely. Well, guys, you heard it here. Like I said, it's your host, Alex, better known as at Auburn Memes on the socials. Make sure to go there to check out the nonsense. I'm not going to act like I'm doing anything on there that's anything other than nonsense, but that's where you can find, interact, have fun with everything we got going on Twitter and Instagram. Of course, you can find Brandy on Instagram at
Brandy Mac with 3 E's.
Okay. There was a little delayed there. I was trying to tee it up for you. Yes. Follow Brandy.
Oh, sorry.
Brandy
Mac. I didn't feel like it was delayed. Maybe it's been on that again.
Yeah.
Well, I'm blaming it on that at least.
But go check out Brandy Mac. And of course, follow the Auburn Daily Show on Twitter, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, check out all this awesome stuff their staff is writing and posting online. I guess Facebook too, at Auburn Daily, for our Facebook users out there. Great way to get the content there. They are always churning out some really, 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 really fun content, and they are like machines with it. A lot of good content from them. So go check it out. Follow the show. show everybody some love. We want to thank everybody for checking out the show and looking forward to being back with some more Auburn basketball. I'm feeling good about this game this upcoming Friday. Going to be a, fingers crossed, hopefully a pretty packed out arena. And I think we feel, do we feel safe to say this is probably going to be an Auburn dub this Friday, Brandy?
If this is not an Auburn dub on Friday, then just forget everything good that we just said, because we have bigger problems. Yes, we are beating Southeastern Louisiana on Friday.
Okay. Southeastern Louisiana with a very, very suspect logo that looks like the Skechers S. Just saying.
We killed them in our baseball regional 2 years ago. So,
well, that's all I needed here. Auburn by 90 this Friday. Well, thanks guys for listening, and we are out of here. We'll catch you next time.